I will reach into the highest mountains. All those high and lofty ones that are lifted up within themselves, that are trusting in their riches, and they say, I have no need of anything. I'm rich and increased with goods. I will reach into those mountains, the Lord says. I love the mountain people as much as I love the valley people. There are many in the valleys of despair, questioning, what is this life all about? This life has no meaning to me anymore. Even many of the young children are taking their own lives. But we're in the day where I'm going to go to the valleys. And I'm going to reach down in the valleys and I'm going to pull them up, says the Lord, by my resurrection power through my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to bring the high and lofty ones down by the same blood and by the same resurrection power, because as I said before, I love the high and lofty ones. I love them as much as the down and outers. I love them too. They're all one. 2,000 years ago, they became one at the cross of Jesus Christ. They all became one. Even as you are one. Don't sit and look at your brother and your sister, your neighbor, and say, there's something else. No, they're one with you. They're one with me. You're all one. And this is what I'm doing in this hour, says the Lord. I'm getting rid of the duplicity, the double-mindedness, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to get rid of all those things. I did it 2,000 years ago, yes. But now you are in a resurrection day. Now you are in the third day, says the Lord. And in the third day, I will raise up my temple. And you are my temple. You know my temple is not a house of brick and mortar and stones and stained glass windows, but you are my temple. And don't leave here this morning with any doubts in your heart. You may have been doubting. You may have been saying, I'm a very religious person. And the Lord would say, that's good. I'm not religious either. But I am interested in a relationship. I am interested in having you know your oneness with me. I know my oneness with you. My work has been finished on Calvary. But now you need to come up here and discover who you are in me and what I've done for you 2,000 years ago. Many of you think of a resurrection as one fine morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I say to you, you can fly away right now in your inner man. You know all about the resurrection of my Son, Jesus Christ. But this morning I speak to you through my servant about the resurrection in you. The resurrection in you and you and you. And you, to the smallest, to the oldest, to the brightest, to the not so bright. There is a resurrection going on inside of you. Receive it. See it. Believe into it. Don't look for some glad morning when your life is over, because your life just began. In Jesus Christ. I said that I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And that's what the abundant life is, my dear children. It is the resurrection power inside of you that is drawing you and calling you. Then I can separate you from the woes of this world and bring you up into the glorious heights of my Son, Jesus Christ, so that you can experience him instead of just hear sermons about him, instead of just sitting in Sunday schools, instead of reading your Bible all day long. And these things are all good, misunderstand me not. But even my word declares, you can search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that point you to my Son. But some won't come to my Son, that they might have this abundant life. Say not in your heart, I know the Bible from cover to cover. For many know the Bible from cover to cover, but they're still waiting for a resurrection after they die. They don't see the resurrection sitting, indwelled within their spirit. But if you would turn to my spirit, you would become one with me. But as long as you turn away and the pressures of this life in this world and the seas roar all about you, and you start focusing on that, the Lord says there's an answer to the roaring seas. There's an answer to physical problems. There is an answer for cancer, and it's in you. It's already in you. It's already in you. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of Christ in you. In you. Hallelujah. Some years ago, the Lord spoke a word to my heart, and he speaks this word to you this morning. Release in me a word of life. Release in me a word of life that I can become a cutting knife. A cutting knife to cut away all those things that hold my brothers and sisters from their resurrection day. The resurrection day is here. The lady at the well said to Jesus when he was talking about the resurrection, she says, "Well, I know that there's a resurrection coming in the last day." You know those scriptures, the lady at the well. And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am." Is the I am in you this morning? Is the I am in you this morning? If he is in you, then the resurrection is in you. Well, how do I know that? How do I experience this resurrection, Brother Jim? You touch me, says the Lord. You touch me like the lady in the garment. She touched me. And my virtue came out of me to heal and to lift her up. It was my resurrection power that went through her body. You just need to touch me. You just need to turn to me. A living Savior. Like the songs we sing, I serve a risen Savior who's in my heart today. One of the things that the burden that I really feel from the Father this morning is he says, "Son, most of my children still see the resurrection as a doctrine." I mean, those words, God spoke those words to my heart. He says, "My children still see the resurrection as a doctrine to sit around and discuss in Sunday school, to preach about in service, to take crackers and the juice." And all those things are good in remembrance of the Lord. But he wants it to not become a doctrine anymore. He wants it to become a life that you're living through him, a life that he can live through you. He wants to live through you. He wants to live his life through you. I was crucified with Christ. It's not I that liveth any longer, but it's Christ, Paul said, that lives through me. Paul had the revelation of this resurrection. He knew. He wasn't waiting until he died. He said, I'm pressing on, I'm pressing forward that I might attain. That I might attain to that resurrection. He said, I'm not saying I've already attained it, but I'm going to press on into this. Well, why did he say that if there's only one resurrection after you die? Why did Paul say, I'm pressing on, I'm pressing forward to this high calling of this resurrection? I want to attain it. And even the scriptures declare, if I can find it, I got 9,000 scriptures here, Brother Oscar. I never seem to be able to get to any of them. It's just, you know, God said that in this day, he was going to write his word in our heart. Okay. And he said, and I'm going to cause it. He's going to be the cause of this river flowing out of our innermost being. Okay. I love the word. I love the word. But there's got to be those times that you spend with the Lord. I think, my opinion, I think that we've made Christianity into a science. You know, I really do. I just think that we've made Christianity into a science. It's wonderful to have knowledge. But, you know, there was a people that was ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So I thought scriptures was the truth. Well, if God anoints it and opens your eyes, it's the truth. If that book leads you to the inner chambers of your heart where Christ dwells and lives, we've got to spend some time with the Lord, guys. And say, well, boy, that's, you know, I can remember when I first got saved, oh, I just was so thankful that I got saved and all. And of course, I started going into different varieties of churches, and they were telling me about if, you know, can't thou watch and pray for 1 hour? I thought, well, bless God, I guess I may have to pray for 1 hour. Oh, my God, I think I'd really go through Chinese water torture. I would go back in my bedroom, and I'd pray, and I'd lay on the floor, and I'd pray, and all these things just keep coming into your mind, you know, when you go back to pray. And the Lord finally said, son, I just want to sit down with you like a friend. I really don't. Now, don't misunderstand me, but the Lord's saying, I don't really need your praise. I'm okay with who I am. I don't need praise. I don't need adulation from everybody. People think that, you know, you got to bow down and worship God. Well, you know, the Old Testament idols, that's what they had to do. They had to bring gifts. They had to do this. And God even said sacrifices and offerings. I don't want that. A body hast thou prepared for me. A body. A body. Jesus, and now the body. The living stones, the memorial right here, the rocks that we can pile up that are a memorial to God. Living stones. But he just said, just come back in your bedroom, sit down, and wait and listen. I don't need you yammering all the time. Just listen. This thing isn't that complicated. It's simple. I'm your father. I'm your friend. Sit in my council. You're part of the Godhead. Is Jesus part of the Godhead? Yes. And where are we at? We're in Christ. He says, come back and sit and listen to the council. Just sit down and listen. And I started just sitting down and trying to get quiet. And he says, that's by my grace too. Don't try and make yourself quiet. Because as soon as you try, oh my God, you know, all those things, the business and everything, the bills. It's just, let my grace do it. This is all a walk of grace. This is all about coming into a rest in God. A rest in your Father. He's not interested in you laboring. You know, the labor to enter into his rest is calming your flesh down. That's the labor. When he says, I want you to labor to enter into my rest, he doesn't, oh, well, bless God. I got to go to church 4 times a week. I better make sure I get in Sunday school. Better read my word for 2 hours a day. Better pray. No. That's what I thought it was at one time. I did. I thought it was that at one time. That's what a lot of my religious background taught me. It did. And then I told you the Lord gave me that dream where I walked into that room and the voice said, why have you come? And I said, I've come to serve the Lord. And the voice said, well, then go serve. You want to serve the Lord? Go serve. That's what all the churches in town want you to do. Pass out them 4 spiritual laws, knock on their neighbor's door, go to the bake-offs, the car washes. Then go serve. Well, I took out of that room. I was going to serve, and I was. I was evangelizing. I was trying to win souls for Jesus, and as I was going down the road, I saw all these evangelists, these preachers, these women, these men, these vocalists, these musicians. They were all laying on the ground, totally wiped out and exhausted. I thought, man, there's something not right here. And I was getting tired. So I went back to the room, and I said, hello, and the voice said, yes. I said, when I came through the door, and you asked me, why have I come, how should I have responded to that? He said, you should have said, I've come to do thy will, O Lord. I've come to do thy will. And if you would have come to do my will, and that's hopefully where I'm at now, just doing his will. For my yoke is, and my burden is. Why do we always feel this heavy yoke when it comes to the Lord? You know, it's just like a dear waitress I talked to over at IHOP this morning. She has this plantar fasciitis in her foot, and she's taking my order, so she sits down because her feet hurt so bad. I said, your feet still hurting, your dear? She said, yeah. And I said, well, have you ever gone to the Lord about that? She goes, well, you know, gave me one of the. I said, no. She says, well, I don't really go to church, you know, and stuff like that. I said, you don't have to go to church. She kind of, you don't meet too many Christians that say you don't have to go to church. Okay, because you ain't going to get saved unless you go to my church. Not just any church, but my church, okay? I told her, I said, dear, you don't have to go to church. I said, do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? She said, well, yeah, I do. But she says, you know, this condemnation all over. I said, you talk to the Lord. You don't worry about going to church. She's got 3 kids. She's working as a waitress at IHOP, so you know she's not rich, okay? I don't know if she's got a husband or if she's a single mom. Probably doesn't have time to go to church. She's got to work on Sundays to pay her bills, okay? And instead of loving God and realizing this abundant life, realizing how much God loves her, she's totally condemned because she doesn't go to your church. When in reality, she is the church. She is the temple. I'm not cutting down churches. Don't misunderstand me, because once you get into Christ, you want to go to church. Amen? You want to go to church. I want to come to church. I couldn't just sit home on Sunday morning. I'd have to be with the other stones, the other lively stones. I got to fit into this temple down here. That's what the Lord said. I've given you all gifts. I want you to all fit in and jointly frame together into a spiritual house, a spiritual tabernacle. Okay? So I love church. If you say you don't love church, you say, I don't love my brother. Because that's what the church is. That's who the church is. Amen? But you're not going to get condemned if you miss a Sunday. If you want to take the kids to King's Island, you know, don't let that old demon of condemnation jump on you. Anyway, the Lord just wanted me to stress this morning. Oh, I got to watch it here. Okay. About this, where is this resurrection that we all come and celebrate? Where is this life abundant that God was talking about? Marge and I was on a trip a while back, going to Florida, planned to spend 5 beautiful weeks under the swaying palm trees. We didn't get 8 hours out of Cincinnati, and the RV broke down. Here we are, out on the freeway. Andy's coming with his big tow truck. $1,400 to tow me 39 miles. Okay. So he tows me into Cummings Diesel. Fortunately, it was only 39 miles away because Cummings knows this coach. And we're in there, and I'm thinking, daggone it. You know, I should be in Florida by this time tomorrow. And all this horse feathers are going through my mind. And so I walk into the guy that's in charge, and I said, let's get this thing fixed. My wife and I were on our way to vacation. We got money down on an RV park, and, you know, we got a golf cart waiting for us I've already paid for. And those guys don't give you your money back. So I said, what, can you get to it immediately? Or he's very noncommittal. Well, you know, you just came in here. We didn't schedule you. Yeah, but this is my wife and I. We're all, you know, Florida. You know, we'll get to it as soon as we can, Mr. Wilson. Okay, I'm telling her, well, 2 days, maybe 3 days, okay? They'll find out what the problem is. I couldn't get any gas in my pedal. I'm going 70 miles an hour down I-75. I push the pedal down, and it goes into neutral. And all these semis and cars are around me. I have no gas. I have no power. So here's the grace of God. God opened everything up for me to just coast, literally coast, over to the berm on the side of the road in the medium. So anyway, I'm telling her, honey, it's probably going to be any more than 2-3 days. I guess we can handle this tribulation. This is horrible for Jim and Marge to go through something like this. You guys know me. So 2 days goes by. You got it yet? Working on it. 3 days goes by. How we doing? We going to be rolling out of here? Like I said, Mr. Wilson, we're working on it. That's all he'd say. Well, can you give me some time? You know, well, sometimes these things can take some time. Well, it's been 3 days, though. We're working on it, Mr. Wilson. So anyway, we get a text from Missy. She says, Dad, evidently you had a plan. God had another plan. And as soon as we read that text, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, clear as a bell. He said, son, there's only one plan.